lettuce. The president and I were hauling boxes of lettuce. It was really, really fun. As a matter of fact, it was one of the great experiences of my presidency.
Why, it even beat watching them old torture videos. Good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Is it Wednesday yet? Is today Wednesday? No, it's today. What's today? This is Tuesday? Oh, Jesus. We have Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday still to get through. Yeah, that was the Guacamoron in Guatemala yesterday. Wait till you hear that entire clip. Oh, God, please. Why did he go on this trip? You and I will never know. Ostensibly, it was to reach out and make friends with people in the various countries in South America. Because, other than the narco-terrorists who run Colombia, or the right-wing neo-fascists that runs Mexico, nobody down there likes Bush. And by extension, they don't like you or me. So what's he doing down there? He's pissing them all off. With his fences and his deportation policies and totally freaking out the priests, too. They have to walk around behind him with rituals, cleansing stuff. Oh, look over behind the tree. You might have missed that spot. Well, what about over here? Well, I think he stopped in this gas station to take a leak. Quick, somebody go in there. You know, evil spirit that place. This Dorito diplomacy ain't working, Dubleve. Somebody better tell him, hurry up and come home before more of your crime family is indicted or resigns. So what a house of cards going on in D.C. Can you believe this? Can you every day, what did I say last night? Every day. Today it was a twofer. You know, it's Peter Pace and this freak, his Tejano, Alberto Gonzalez. Oh, my God. How many more scandals, how much more bad news can this White House withstand before it crumbles into a pile of decaying, rotting Republicans? From Joint Chiefs Chairman General, don't touch my, Peter Pace's comments about the immorality of homosexuals, to the resignation of Gonzalez's Chief of Staff, Kyle Sampson, to the revelations that Harriet Myers was an out-of-control psychopath who almost wound up on the Supreme Court, to Torquemada Gonzalez's denial that he worked with Bush to fire all those attorneys. Because why? They were getting too close to the Bush crime family? What do you think? Then there's the Libby conviction and the cloud over Cheney. The Walter Reed scandal and all those resignations, the Army Surgeon General, all sorts of generals bailing, being fired, the revelation that the FBI has been illegally spying on Americans. That's a yawner right there, actually. And now we have confirmation of what we always maintain on this program. The Bush crime family knowingly led this country into war in Iraq based on a boatload of lies about Iraq's so-called weapons of mass destruction. Everybody in the intelligence community and this filthy government knew that this Iraqi informant, cutely named Curveball, wasn't telling any truth. He was, but the Bush crime family decided to rely solely on his input because they were saying what he wanted to hear. And now the truth is out, thanks to Brian who, over at ABC News, who... Oh, Christ, where is it? Where is it in my stack? Don't anybody email me. I'll find it in a minute. Brian Ross, thank you. Remember years ago, I think it was Paul O'Neill, the former economic guy in this filthy administration, who came out and revealed that the Bush crime family, mostly under the leadership of this filthy, degenerate Dick Cheney, wanted to invade Iraq and get the oil and get the bases And just get in there. And weapons of mass destruction was the only justification the entire cabinet could agree to. Oh, okay, well, we'll invade, but there has to be a reason. Okay. So they came up with a reason, and they came up with this known liar, Curveball. Remember the Downing Street memo that laid out how people in British intelligence were aware that the United States was shaping the intelligence to fit the plan, or what was their term, fixing the intelligence to fit the plan. Remember that? Tonight's question, why are these killers, these criminals, still in power? Why is George Bush and Dick Cheney and all of these people still in power? Why, huh? Well, with the list of resignations seeming to grow by the hour, almost faster than Waxman can convene the hearings and issue the subpoenas, maybe the end is at hand. So tonight we'll have a comment from Peter Pace. Don't you love this guy, huh? Torquemada Gonzalez. And just for a few laughs, we have some clips from our Nacho president insulting the Guatemalans yesterday. All in all, a very fun evening planned for you this Tuesday. Now, is it only Tuesday? Oh, Jesus, God. Oh, and by the way, yes, Catherine?
I was just going to say, take more calls and the program will go faster.
I hope to get some calls tonight. I would suggest, with all due respect, that you do not call the program until I say, okay, we're going to take some calls. Really, there's no point you sitting there with the phone to your head because I don't know when I'm going to get to the calls tonight. We've got this stuff that I want to get out, so let's just declare a truce. I know it's talk radio. I understand, and I know I'm breaking all the rules, and I know they're probably going to fire me, and I know rats are going to come and eat my feet tonight when I'm asleep, and God doesn't love me, but still, hold off on the calls, just for a while. The Mayan priest. Oh, and by the way, to all the people, bless your hearts, who sent me emails about the spider bite. No, it was all. Y'all were great. Very, very concerned. The consensus was keep the little corpse in case you go into convulsions or your arm starts to rot. We have come to the conclusion, Dr. Catherine and I, that it wasn't a spider after all. And the reason for that is the only thing left on my arm is two little fang holes. No, just a little bloody spot where it was one of those. I don't know if y'all have them where you live, but here in the South, they look like, I don't know what they look like. They look kind of like little winged ants, bees. They're black and they're like if a bee and an ant mated and then got real tiny. When I was a kid, we used to call them sweat bees. But they, they'll land on you and they just bite the hell out of you. And I think the only reason that I had that high blood pressure, oops, I'm going to faint episode, was because I thought, oh, God, another spider bite. Here you go. That's what Kathy said. She said, well, you freaked yourself out. So anyway, thanks to everybody who sent the emails, so that were concerned, even to the guy who said, I hope your ass dies. It was fun reading yours, too. You are aware, are you not, that the first United States Marine in Bush's filthy, murderous war, who wound up as an amputee, the first one, is gay. He was in the United States Marine Corps, served his country, lost a limb, came back to the United States, mustered out, got his benefits, and finally decided to make public what his family and friends and he knew for a long time. He happened to be a homosexual. He also happened to be a Marine. You also know there's no such thing as an ex-Marine. There are only former Marines. Now, how is Peter Pace, who is also a Marine, going to deal with that? Huh? We'll get to that in a second. Somebody sent me an email, said, please don't dwell on the Peter Pace thing. It's just a distraction. Okay. Well, it is a distraction to the horrible events going on, thanks to the Bush crime family, but it is a critical topic to 65,000 soldiers, sailors, Marines, and members of the Air Force who happen to be gay, who are serving their country, some of them committing murder and mayhem on behalf of George Bush. So we're not going to dwell on it a lot. But I am going to have the quote from Peter Pace today, so you can gag. Representative Pete Stark says he doesn't believe in God. That's right. The first member of Congress, the highest ranking elected official in U.S. history, well, recent history, to make such a public acknowledgement. It was in the L.A. Times. Pete Stark, I don't believe in God. Oh, open the floodgates. We'll be back in a minute. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.
Go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
So, it's in the LA Times. Cue the jokes about godless politicians and Bay Area liberals. A public acknowledgement by Representative Pete Stark that he does not believe in a supreme being, which makes this Democrat from Fremont, California, the first member of Congress to publicly acknowledge not believing in God. The American Humanist Association plans to take out an ad in the Washington Post congratulating the congressman for his public stance and highlighting the contributions of other prominent secular humanists such as Barbara Ehrenreich and Kurt Vonnegut. They could have said Mike Malloy, but oh, to hell with it. Fred Edwards, a spokesman for the group, the American Humanist Association, said non-theistic Americans often face discrimination for their views. Well, duh. He said, so often throughout American history, people who are non-theistic or don't believe in a supreme being can't get elected to public office, or if they inform the public of their view, they don't get reelected. We're trying to increase the acceptance of non-theists as every bit as American as everybody else. And gay Americans are trying to get that, and black Americans are still trying after 350 years, and atheist Americans are trying, and everybody's trying. Who is it we all want to be accepted by? Who is this major force that we all want to be, you know, whether we're gay or atheist or African American or Jewish or Muslim or left-handed or cross-eyed, or who is it? Who is it we're all trying to be? Who is it, Kathy? Have any idea?
Gonzalez?
Anyway, Stark has served in Congress since 1973 and chairs the Health Subcommittee of the House Ways and Means Committee. And he clarified his views in an email statement. He said, when the Secular Coalition asked me to complete a survey of my religious beliefs, I indicated I am a Unitarian who does not believe in a supreme being. Like our nation's founders, I strongly support the separation of church and state. I look forward to working with the Secular Coalition to stop the promotion of narrow religious beliefs in science, marriage contracts, the military, and the provision of social services. Now, you know, Unitarian Universalism, which is a great organization. I love them to death. If Kathy and I were ever to join something like that, it would probably be that denomination. It describes itself as creedless, meaning it has no underlying authoritative statement of religious belief. Some of their members believe in God, some don't. A USA Today Gallup poll last month found that 45% of respondents said they would vote for a well-qualified presidential candidate who was an atheist. 95% said they would vote for a Catholic, 92% a Jew, and 72% a Mormon.
And 100% said a Q-tip if it was the choice between the Q-tip or the current.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, my God. To paraphrase Bill Bennett, George from L.A. wrote this to me. Mike, if you wanted to reduce war crimes, if that were your sole purpose, you could abort every white male baby made by a white Republican couple in the U.S., and these rates would go down. Good point. Bush, about 150 protesters attacked riot police with rocks and metal barriers and ripped down lampposts in Colombia's capital, Bogota. This is the other day, yesterday, Monday, as U.S. President George Bush paid a six-hour visit. The highest security stop on Mr. Bush's five-nation tour. Last night's visit to Colombia was also the shortest. Then, as Mr. Bush arrived in Guatemala last night, more than 100 Mayan Indians protested in the city of Tecpan, holding signs that read, "No more blood for oil." And, of course, then it says here about the Mayan priest plan of spiritual cleansing. Well, we have some, do we have the time for Jorge? Right? This, we don't? Okay, we're going to have to take a break. But we have Jorge with President Berger. I'm sorry. Just, you wouldn't think somebody who is the president of Guatemala would be named Berger. You know, like Sandy Berger. Right? But we have for you Jorge Duble with the Guatemalan president. And a couple of statements that are just astonishingly, I mean, you know, this guy is really Cinco de Moron. It's just unbelievable. But we're going to play him for you anyway. Coming back after the break. Stick around, okay? We have miles to go before we sleep. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
It's okay, Republicans. The pain will be over soon. Take a deep breath. Find your happy place. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 26 before the hour. All right, Jorge Duble with President Berger of Guatemala. They participated in a joint press availability today. Was that today? And then he went on to Mexico. It was Monday? It was Monday. Oh, Monday. Okay, my bad. Yeah, today he was in Mexico. And, boy, don't they love him there. So, anyway, the Guacamoron was in Guatemala yesterday, and El Dorque finally realized his lifelong dream of picking lettuce. You think I'm kidding? Huh? We make up nothing on the Malloy program. Remember last week in Brazil when he was rambling about this peasant that he was eager to meet? You know, it's almost medieval, the way it all comes together. You know, here's George W. Bush, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he wants to meet a peasant. You know, someone who lives in a grass mud hut and eats weeds or something. And he wanted to meet this particular peasant who is a vegetable farmer who started a co-op and now sells his vegetables to Walmart or someplace. And we all know it's a bunch of bat squeeze. And the reason we know that is because Where was he? Brazil or was it Colombia? I don't even know where it was. But any peasant farmer in any South American country, pretty much, except a few now that have gone left, who would try to start a co-op would be immediately suspected of being a terrorist or trying to overthrow the government and be executed. Boom! Right on the spot. Dead! Well, Bush can't stop talking about Mariano Canu. And he's boxes of vegetables.
The town has grown from subsistence farming to selling high-value crops like lettuce and carrots and celery. As a matter of fact, I got to pack some lettuce. The president and I were hauling boxes of lettuce. It was really, really fun and really heartwarming. As a matter of fact, it was one of the great experiences of my presidency.
Heartwarming? Hauling boxes of lettuce and putting them in a truck? Heartwarming? One of the great experiences of my presidency? Packing lettuce? Oh, man. It's really not going to be tough to find you a post-presidential job, is it, Chuckle Nuts? Huh? And by the way, packing lettuce, that's going to come in handy when you're in federal prison. You know, if you can get, well, on the other hand, you're going to be where? In Paraguay, Uruguay. Play that again, please. You made that up, right? You didn't make
the town has grown from subsistence farming to selling high-value crops like lettuce and carrots and celery. As a matter of fact, I got to patch some lettuce.
Those were
President and I were hauling boxes of lettuce.
No. Those were
It was really, really fun.
It was coca leaves.
And really heartwarming. As a matter of fact, it was one of the great experiences of my presidency.
Oh, my God. Mr. President, this is lettuce. Oh, really? This is lettuce. They're little leaves. And they're very little leaves. You sure that's not coca? No, this is lettuce. Trust me, Mr. Presidente. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I was in Afghanistan. They had some real pretty flowers over there, and they kept telling me they were that stuff coming out the sides of them was just to attract the bees. So this is lettuce. I'll be damned. I didn't realize it was so little. El Dorque. All right, so Cinco de Moron insulted the Mayans and found it a good opportunity to further alienate the population on immigration and deportation issues. He's astonishing. He's in Guatemala. The Mayan priests are following around with a psychic broom, trying to sweep up, you know, all the spiritual debris that he's leaving behind him. It's like a trail of sparkles that go off, and he just burns into their holy sites and into their religion and into their superstitions. So the priests got to come along behind, going, ah, you know, doing their chanting and stuff. Anyway, this reporter says, President Bush, good afternoon. This guy is a Guatemalan. President Bush, good afternoon. Mr. President, deportations continue. At the end of 2006 and only a week ago, this practice of deporting or arresting immigrants and beginning a process of deportation continued. In Guatemala, information of abusive authority and lack of respect for the right of Guatemalan immigrants has been disseminated. My question is, now that you are in Guatemala, excuse me, sir, lost it there for a second. Is there a commitment from your country to the 13 million Guatemalans to cease these deportations since you expect to have a comprehensive immigration reform?
They didn't say, oh, maybe there's Guatemalans there. Let's go get them. That wasn't what happened. Yeah, we're going to enforce the laws in our country, just like you should enforce the laws in yours. It is against the law for somebody to hire somebody who's in our country illegally to work.
It is against the law for somebody to hire somebody who's in our country illegally to work. Okay, then I have a suggestion, Chuckle Nuts. Why not send out a special Justice Department task force? I'm sure Gonzalez can put one together for you. And as a matter of fact, if you come here to Atlanta, I can direct you to, maybe 3 chicken rendering plants right up here in Gainesville, Georgia, maybe 30 miles from my studio as the crow flies or as the chicken wobbles. And if you go in there, you will find nothing but illegal immigrants who should be allowed to work because Christ knows we need our chicken. But what about the owners, huh? It's against the law for somebody to hire somebody who is in our country illegally to work. Really? When was the last corporate executive who was arrested for doing this? When was the last time a plant supervisor went to jail? When's the last time a personnel manager was fined? When's the last time the Gonzales Justice Department brought the hammer down? Bush, you're a filthy liar. As usual. Yeah, get the immigrants. That's good. You know, go after those damned immigrants, right? But the corporate thugs that are doing this, Oh, well, they contribute a lot of money to the Republican Party. Please, back off. Wow. Last one from Nacho Dimwit here, answering a reporter's question about this half-witted fence he wants to build to keep immigrants out. If he really wants to build a fence, bring over the Israeli engineers. Let them put up a wall. You know, that's what they're doing in Israel to keep the Palestinians out.
I'm still trying to figure out how he's going to construct the fence without using illegal immigrant labor.
So here he answers a reporter's question about this fence and when the Guatemalans can expect this wonderful immigration reform that he's promised, you see. Lou Dobbs is not going to let him do it. Lou Dobbs of CNN is going to throw his well-fed body into the path of the first bulldozer that tries to bring immigration reform. Yeah, yeah. Dobbs wants a fence. Dobbs wants snipers posted every 10 yards. I'm getting sick. Anyway, here's the question. Presidente Bush, your decision to sign legislation authorizing construction of a fence along the U.S.-Mexico border was not viewed positively here in the region. Now your Congress is working on immigration reform. When do you expect that to pass? Well, it passed by August?
It was more than just fence. It was infrastructure, kind of novel infrastructure like detection devices, berms. We got a very long border. But I'm not the person that sets the calendar. I'm just simple member of the executive branch. It's the legislative branch that decides the calendar.
Actually, it was the Mayans who decided the calendar, but that's another story. I'm just a simple member of the executive branch. For some reason, that reminded me of, now it's gotten away from me. No, not... the guy, watch, you want to see 1,000 emails come in here? I'm drawing a blank on the name of the farmer who went to Woodstock. And there are 500,000 people there, and he said, I'm just a farmer, but I'm here to say that this is the most peaceful gathering. Who was it? What was his name? Oh, my God, I know it as well as my own. But when he said that, I'm just a simple member of the executive branch who wants to pick lettuce and carry crates and have these heartwarming experiences down here. You know, it's so heartwarming and beautiful and oh God, just wonderful to be out in the sun. How long was I out there, Mr. El Presidente? 10 minutes? Oh, yeah. To be out there in the sun picking lettuce. Gosh, that's such a fun thing to do. Why did these little brown people complain about picking lettuce? I had a good time. It was the greatest moment of my presidency. Max Yasger, thanks. No more emails. Max Yasger. About 10 before the hour. All right, let's do this Peter Pace thing. We've all heard the snippets, but here's the entire uninterrupted statement from this homophobe on what he thinks of gays in the military. Of course, if somebody offered him a regiment of combat-ready men or women happen to be gay, I think he would immediately call Petraeus, and Petraeus would say, send the sons of bitches. We need corpses. I'm sorry, we need bodies over here. But anyway, here it is on what Peter Pace thinks of gays in the military. I wonder how long before he resigns, right? And I wonder if he ever, when he was in wherever he went to school, probably the U.S. War College or various academies, I wonder if he ever studied the campaigns of Alexander the Great, who was just as queer as a $3 bill. I wonder if he thinks Alexander the Great was immoral. I wonder if he thinks Genghis Khan, who was also noted for his ability to do more men than women. But see, Genghis did them all. He didn't care. You show it to me, I'll do it. But Alexander the Great, and dig this, Alexander the Great's father, Philip of Macedonia, also happened to be, how could that be? Well, surprise, surprise, gay folk occasionally have babies. If they didn't, well, never mind. Yes, Catherine.
And let's not forget Petraeus' hero, T.E. Lawrence.
Right.
I mean, the man, he based his entire revision of the Army War Manual on T.E. Lawrence's experiences in Arabia.
I know. Go ahead. Start eliminating gay folk out of any enterprise that you want to do it. War, science, religion, psychology, sports, medicine, street cleaning, farming, rock and roll, baseball. Go ahead. Go ahead. Make them all go away. I didn't even mention interior design or hairdressing, did I? Here he is, General Peter Pace. I like the part here at the end where he insinuates that gays should be prosecuted and locked up. That's nice.
My upbringing is such that I believe that there are certain things, certain types of conduct that are immoral. I believe that military members who sleep with other military members' wives.
What about husbands?
Are immoral in their conduct, and that we should not tolerate that. I believe that homosexual acts between individuals
are
immoral, and that we should not condone immoral acts. So the don't ask, don't tell allows an individual to serve the country. Yeah. If we know about immoral acts, regardless of committed by who, then we have a responsibility. I do not believe that the armed forces of the United States are well served. By saying through our policies that
that's
it's okay
to be immoral,
in any way, not just with regard to homosexuality.
Oh, well, thank you. Oh, okay.
Saying that gays should serve openly in the military, to me says that we, by policy, would be condoning what I believe is immoral activity.
The sound of your voice is immoral!
As an individual, I would not want that to be our policy. Just like I would not want it to be our policy that if we were to find out that so-and-so was sleeping with someone else's wife, that we would just look the other way, which we do not. We prosecute that kind of immoral behavior.
Oh, Jesus, that's twice he said sleeping with someone else's wife.
Dun, 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 dun.
What about sleeping with someone else's husband? Oh, that's right. There are no female people that would sleep with someone else's husband in the United States, by God, military, right? Oh, okay. Do you know, everybody that says homosexual acts between individuals are immoral or satanic or whatever, you know, that all comes from the Bible. Is there some other authoritative text that says homosexuality is immoral, satanic, evil, whatever? No, I don't think so. CJ says, hey, Mike, how is it that Pace can say homosexuals are immoral when he does nothing about the rape of women soldiers by their fellow soldiers? Isn't that immoral also? The rapist isn't being charged, or they aren't being charged, and leadership of the Army, including Pace, do nothing. Homosexuality is not immoral, but what these bastards are doing is. Isn't going to war based on lies immoral? Have I said tonight how much I hate these people? From Greg in Des Moines, Mike, it is quite correct to dwell on Peter's anti-gay comments. What if he had said it was immoral for a black man to marry a white woman? How do Pace's and Coulter's comments square with Dick Cheney's daughter's aspirations? Would Coulter call her a faggot, and would Pace call her immoral? There is something in the Republican water. Perhaps naming our children after the penis is the problem. No more Dicks and Peters, thank you. You people are really vile. This is from EO. Mike, Republican Duncan Hunter said that our soldiers need to be protected from homosexuals in the military. All this concern for our soldiers who are getting blown up and dying for nothing legal and moral is coming from a man who never wants to see this war end. And from my northern metro Atlanta correspondent, I have a few questions for Peter Pace. Does he have a problem with torture? Does he have a problem with 3,100 dead Americans? Does he have a problem with 600,000 dead Iraqis? How does he feel about warehousing and abandoning wounded soldiers? How does he carry sending soldiers back to Iraq for the third and fourth tours of duty in the span of 4 years? Or that he's sending soldiers without proper training and equipment to a combat zone? Does he have a problem with defense contractors serving dirty water and food to our soldiers in the Middle East? Does it matter to him that convicted felons can now join the Army? Does he care that his defense department is no longer looking for the planners of 9/11. Does he care that his commander-in-chief has broken the Army and his own Marine Corps? Well, okay, as long as they don't kiss. Welcome back. Regarding this whole issue of gays in the military again, which is such a non-issue, it just gives these right wingers one more thing to use as a instrument of divisiveness. Gays in the military, oh my God! Gays in the priesthood, gays in the arts, gays in the factories, gays in your family's tree, gays, geez, it's just ridiculous. Reg writes in, what a great way to get out of Iraq. Lots of our servicemen and women are tired of repeated tours of duty or tired of fighting a war for George Bush. If everyone who wants to come home from Iraq would just say, Sarge, listen, I'm queer, there would be no war. Wouldn't that be something? Yeah, it would. Oh, well. Today, Pace expressed regret that he called... What does that mean? I expressed regret that he called homosexuality immoral. Immoral. In a statement today, he said he should have focused more in the interview with the Chicago Tribune on the Defense Department policy about gays and, quote, less on my personal moral views, end quote. He did not offer an apology. And he never, why should he? He's chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He'll tell you, Democrats, liberals, terrorists, and queers. It's all the same, And Brian in Seattle sent this to me. The issue of Peter Pace denouncing homosexuality in general and in the military in particular is a GD distraction. This isn't even debatable. Many on the left are jumping all over this. One day he denounces gays. The next day he says, whoops, I didn't choose my words carefully. Meanwhile, the news is overflowing with scandal. Jaw-dropping amounts of it, as usual, on the part of the Bush administration. For example, pressure on Gonzalez to resign, Halliburton moving to Dubai, an American public left hanging in the aftermath of Scooter Libby's conviction, the Walter Reed disaster, the Iraq occupation disaster. I can go on, as can you. Please, Mike, don't give much of any time to all the Peter Pace distraction. I'm sympathetic and solid with gay rights, but what a damn yawner of a story this is in such troubled times. Randy is talking about it right now, and I turned off my radio. Today I want to hear more about these Halliburton traitors and Gonzalez personally. Brian in Seattle. Well, yeah, the reason I talk about that particular issue is, when the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the United States military, injects his morality into an overview of U.S. fighting forces that are being abused and misused anyway by this corrupt administration, then it becomes news. I think MSNBC played a clip today from when Colin Powell was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and this issue came up back then. It was when Clinton issued his policy of dropping all the public prohibitions against gays in the military. And Colin Powell said that, it's not. He categorically said that gays in the military was not an issue of morality, and that commanders and people in a command and control situation shouldn't even think of it in those terms. That the only thing that he, Colin Powell, was concerned about was issues of unit cohesion. And today, in light of the story, there was some report released that said unit cohesion is even greater when you have gays and non-gays in the same unit. This is what the moralists don't understand. You know, if you are in the military and you are in a combat situation and all of a sudden you are taking heavy fire from some sons of bitches that want to kill you, and it's you and your buddy, you're not going to turn to him and say, "Are you locked and loaded? Oh, and by the way, are you queer?" You're not going to do that. What you're going to do is defend each other to the death. That's the underlying essential element in combat. No, I've not been there, but I've had it explained to me a million times. You are not fighting for mom or apple pie or the flag or George Bush or democracy. You are fighting to keep yourself and your buddy alive. And you're not going to turn to your buddy and say, "Oh, by the way, before I put my life on the line for you," or vice versa, "are you queer? Why don't these people leave it alone?" That's why it's a story. George. The chief aide to U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez resigned amid revelations that Bush's White House staff initiated the decision to fire federal prosecutors. They have politicized, polluted, corrupted, and crapped on everything, this Bush crime family. Justice, the legal system, the military, everything. The business community, workers, everything. Is there anything? I will declare a truce with some of you right-wingers tonight who turn my stomach normally, but I will declare a truce and allow you to come on this program if you can. Oh, geez, it's the same offer I always make. Come on this program and tell me one thing that George W. Bush has done that is decent, just, logical, or in the interest of this country. One thing in 6 years. Let me give you the answer before you reach for the phone. He's done nothing. Now the Justice Department. They announced the resignation of Kyle Sampson, who was Gonzalez's chief of staff. And what did he say today in his press briefing? "Oh, well, I didn't know. I don't know what's going on." Matter of fact, here, let's do this first one from Torquemada here. The question is not why did Sampson resign, but why didn't Torquemada? You know, like so many of these pigs, he keeps claiming responsibility and then saying he's worked too hard to step down, even if he is a criminal. Say what?
"Like every CEO of a major organization, I am responsible for what happens at the Department of Justice. I acknowledge that mistakes were made here. I accept that responsibility."
Then resign.
"And my pledge to the American people is to find out what went wrong here, to assess accountability, and to make improvements so that the mistakes that occurred in this instance do not occur again in the future."
Okay.
"Finally, let me just say one thing."
Sure, go ahead.
"I've overcome a lot of obstacles in my life to become Attorney General."
Don't cry, don't cry.
"I am here not because I give up."
Don't cry.
"I am here because I've learned from my mistakes, because I accept responsibility, and because I'm committed to doing my job.
Which is covering Bush's ass and Cheney's ass instead of representing the American people. That's your job, boy. You ever picked lettuce, by the way, Gonzalez, huh? With your Tejano or your whatever the hell he is? It's liberating. I am responsible, he says, for what happens at the Department of Justice. Okay, then you're responsible for the making it political. And this passive, or is it subjunctive, active tense, I made mistakes, passive, mistakes were made. What does that mean? When these right-wing thugs say mistakes were made. Well, see, here's what happened. We were all sitting around running the Justice Department very efficiently, and all of a sudden the door burst open and in ran a bunch of mistakes. And they just jumped around and smashed the furniture and knocked my bottle of booze over and got familiar with me, too. Probably a queer mistake, that one over there. And these mistakes just ran all around. They ruined everything. We finally chased them out. Now, I take responsibility, but, mistakes were made. They're ugly devils, too, these mistakes. Oh, you ought to see them. They have long, spindly necks and big fangs, and they just came running in. Mistakes. Finally, let me just say one thing. I've overcome a lot of obstacles in my life to become an attorney general. What he's meaning to say there is, you wouldn't believe how hard it was to be Cinco de Moron's Tejano. You have no idea. I sit there and listen to him, and I listen to Cheney, the other one. And I know I don't deserve to be in this position. I should be a lawyer for Enron or something. But here I am, Attorney General. You know why? Because I will do things like Bush, when Bush or Cheney tells me to break the law, I'll do it. I'll do it. And why will I do it? Because, well, this is America, right? I've overcome a lot of obstacles in my life, and I'm here not because I give up. I'm here because... Well, come to think of it, I don't know why I am here.
This is not automatic citizenship. If somebody who is here working wants to be a citizen, they can get in line like those who have been here legally and have been working to become a citizenship in a legal matter.
Like I need a hole in my head.
Okay, I got a couple more here from Gonzalez, but somebody sent me a link to Active Christian Media, and here they go. The headline says, "Take action, defend the moral convictions of General Peter Pace." And then the body of it says, here we go again. The homosexual activists and liberal media is trying to silence the free speech of General Peter Pace. For what? The following comments from General Pace. I believe homosexual acts, blah, blah, blah. You can bet that the homosexual activists and liberal hate groups are going to do all they can to pressure President Bush into either firing or shamefully reprimanding the general. And we cannot allow that to happen. Which is why I'm happy to tell you about a new petition you must sign if you care about free speech for all, and not just the homosexual activists. It's just up is down, in is out. You know, the liberal haters, free speech for not just the liberal haters, but for us poor trod upon Christians. Oh my God. Back to Gonzalez. So since he took, all the responsibility, why does he now pass the buck and play the Tony Snow, I know nothing card? It's impossible to believe that he was in the dark about emails flying between the White House and his Justice Department and Harriet Myers and his chief of staff, Kyle Sampson, who had worked with Gonzalez when Gonzalez was White House counsel. And before that, Sampson was an aide to Senator Orrin Hatch. But, oh, no, Gonzalez. Oh, I don't know. What? Did something happen? If he didn't know, then he should resign out of incompetence, shouldn't he? So this reporter says, Mr. Gonzalez, can you explain what the White House role is specifically in your successor, Harriet Myers? See, these dumb White House or Justice Department, whoever this was, it's not a successor. Half-wit, it's a predecessor. Oh, but never mind.
Can you explain what the White House role is specifically in your successor, Harriet Myers, suggested or something that perhaps all U.S. attorneys should be changed over? Is that the seed that started all of this? And how does that connect to the actual terminations? And can you tell me where the bathroom is?
I am not aware of every bit of information that passes through the halls of the Department of Justice. Nor am I aware of all decisions.
Right.
As a general matter, some 2 years ago, I was made aware that there was a request from the White House as to the possibility of replacing all the United States attorneys.
Uh-huh.
That was immediately rejected by me. I felt that that was a bad idea, and it was disruptive.
Yeah,
respect to this whole process, like every CEO, I am ultimately accountable and responsible for what happens within the department. But
so
that
resign.
Is, in essence, what I knew about the process. Was not involved in seeing any memos, was not involved in any discussions about what was going on. That's basically what I knew.
Not involved in any discussions? Not involved in seeing any memos? What the hell?
Well, why does he keep calling himself a CEO?
Because he works for the Bush crime family.
I mean, he's supposed to be the attorney general that represents every United States citizen. I don't understand this CEO. You know, I'm just the CEO. What the hell is that?
He says, nor am I aware of all decisions. Okay. You know, when some attorney out in, pick a city, San Diego, decides to have a tuna fish special for lunch, no, you probably shouldn't be aware of that decision, Gonzalez. But what about a decision to fire everybody? Shouldn't you be aware of that? What about a decision to deliberately eliminate activists? Federal attorneys, all of whom, by the way, are Republicans, but all of whom have set aside their political leanings and are working to enforce the law. Shouldn't you know about that? Well, apparently not.
So, like every CEO, I am ultimately accountable and responsible.
Well, then get out of town. Oh, my God. Nobody knows. All right, last one. Another reporter, incredulous, questions. You got time for this one? Okay, we'll wait on that. We got one more. This is unbelievable. Hey, do you notice how no matter who it is that gets caught with his foreskin in the zipper, it doesn't make any difference who it is. These guys, to the last man, will stand there and say, well, I didn't know. Well, the intelligence was skewed. Well, I didn't know. Well, I was out of town. Well, I can't read every memo. Well, I don't make every decision, but I am the CEO. Well, I take responsibility. Well, I didn't know. What, something happened? Well, when, huh? Where, what, how, which, up, down, left, right? Oh, man.
Dirty cash and baby spree. Another one bites the dust. And another Y Clef's on Freddie Mercury. Another one bites the dust. Yeah. Now, baby. Baby, too. Another one bites the dust. We'll be right back.
she was plenty bright. She just didn't kind of opine about things. She actually led. People are quick to opine.
Oh, that was about Harriet Myers, huh? The would-be Supreme Court justice who wanted to fire everybody. Which, I just got an email, Stephen Raleigh, the subject line, what about Clinton's firings? Mike, I'm a loyal nightly fan. Drudge Report has a link to a New York Times article from 1993 that says Janet Reno fired all U.S. attorneys in 1993. Can you comment? Compare the two presidents' actions. Why, sure. It is standard operating procedure when a new administration takes office that especially a Democrat or Republican administration after 12 years of the other party's control in the executive branch, it is standard operating procedure. You retire all of the attorneys general and federal attorneys. You retire them and you bring in your own people. These are appointed positions that require the confirmation of the Senate. Not a single one of those removals or firings by Janet Reno had to do with charges of political cronyism or corruption. It did not investigate or interrupt investigations. Whereas with Bush, we're 6 years into this rat bastard's corrupt administration. And they picked certain members like Miss Lamb, the federal attorney who sent... Randy Cunningham to prison. She's a Republican, so is Cunningham, but she also enforced the law. She was one of the first to go. That's the difference. And I'm not yelling at you, Steve. It's just, of course Drudge would say that. Of course Limbaugh is filling his half-witted listeners' heads with that nonsense. That, oh, well, everybody does it. What about Janet Reno? And you know, Janet Reno was probably on Peter Pace's radar way back then, right? Oh, God.
I hope that answers the question. Back to Gonzalez and his little press briefing today that lasted all of 9 minutes, start to finish. Another reporter, incredulous, questions how it's possible that Bush's Tejano, Alberto Gonzalez, would not be consulted by Bush on the firing of U.S. attorneys. The reporter says, how could your chief of staff be working closely with Bush on which U.S. attorneys to be let go and you not know about those communications?
Mr. Sampson was charged with directing the process to ascertain who were weak performers, where we could do better.
Weak.
In districts around the country.
Weak.
That is a responsibility that he had. It is a response. He worked with respect to U.S. attorneys with and presidential personnel at the White House.
Oh.
And so naturally, when questions came up with respect to the evaluation of performances of U.S. attorneys, the charge for the chief of staff here was to drive this process. And the mistake that occurred here was that information that he had was not shared with individuals within the department who was then going to be providing testimony and information to the Congress.
He wasn't sharing with individuals within the department like you, his boss. So let me get this straight. Jorge circumvented Gonzalez and went to this Sampson person to discuss which U.S. attorneys should be fired. He never spoke with Gonzalez, his most trusted Tejano. Are you kidding me? But they stand there. Every one of these rat bastards stand there and lie through their teeth. Oh, my God. How the reporter said, how could your chief of staff be working with Bush on which attorneys to be let go and you didn't know about it? If that is true, then Gonzalez was rendered in that moment totally useless. Get rid of him. Work with Sampson. Oh, that's right. He resigned. And I love the way Gonzalez puts this, that Samson worked with respect to U.S. attorneys and presidential personnel at the White House.
Who would that be? Presidential personnel? Let me study on that one for a moment here. Presidential personnel. Would that be the president?
Oh, my God. So he says the mistake that occurred here was that information that he had. In other words, Mr. Gonzalez knows nothing.
Gambling? In this club? There is gambling here? You must be kidding. There is no gambling here. Not in Rick's place.
Kim writes, Mike, don't you just wonder how many mistakes were made when this incompetent bastard was reviewing death penalty cases for chucklenuts in Texas? Kim is one of the founding members of VeteransAgainstTorture.com. VeteransAgainstTorture.com. Yeah, you got to wonder. Gonzalez, to me, every time I've heard him open his mouth, he sounds, first of all, he sounds like he's still in high school. He sounds like his voice hasn't changed yet. Yes, this is an ad hominem attack. You're damn right. He sounds like his voice hasn't changed. He sounds like an ignorant little sprite who has no more business being Attorney General of the United States than I do. How do you have confidence in some smug little bastard like that who can sit there before he becomes Attorney General? He figures out some way to twist and torture federal law that will allow Bush to twist and torture detainees. And that it's legal, that the president has the power to order torture. And this little piglet becomes Attorney General of the United States. My God, and I thought Ashcroft was bad. Don't play his music. There's a couple letters to the editor in the Times this morning. The Times had an editorial March 11th. The failed Attorney General, Richard Sinnott of Fort Pierce, Florida, wrote, "Thank you for yet another superb editorial about the Bush Imperial Presidency. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez is worthy of your criticism, though I heartily applaud your recent series of editorials along those lines. They somehow remind me of artillery fire that has not yet found its proper target. Explosions all around, but none hit the target. The target is the USA Patriot Act and its cousin, the Military Commissions Act. They are the foundation and the hallmark of this imperial presidency. The repeal mechanism serves an important purpose in our system of government, and both these laws should be repealed forthwith." Here's one from Francis Hilton in Norway, Maine. "One question has to be answered in order to replace Alberto Gonzalez as Attorney General. Does the President know of any truthful candidates for Attorney General who do not come from his group of enablers? If the President does nothing about this crisis, Congress must. We cannot afford any more erosions of our civil liberties or the Constitution." This is from Mark Stern, Shepherdstown, West Virginia. These were all published in the Times today. "Your editorial argues that President Bush should dismiss Alberto Gonzalez and, quote, finally appoint an attorney general who will use the job to enforce the law and defend the Constitution, end quote. Difficult as it may be for you to believe, Mr. Bush believes that Mr. Gonzalez is enforcing the law and defending the Constitution. The President, his Attorney General, and most of the Republican members of the Congress simply have a different conception of the law and the operation of the Constitution. In 2008, perhaps the people of the United States will vividly demonstrate their disdain for the Republican disdain for the rule of law under the Constitution and sweep the GOP from control of the government." Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just know that coming up after the break, the top of the hour, we are going to take your phone calls. I'm going to ask you to stay with the topics that I brought up tonight, though. Really. There are all kinds of things to talk about. I know Iran. I know Cheney in front of AIPAC the other day. The U.S. following the Israeli delegation as it walked out of the disarmament talks in Geneva today. I know. But please, I'm going to ask you in the last hour of the program to focus your calls on what we've been talking about. Would you do that for me? Thank you. Suzanne in L.A. writes, good evening, Mike. They're all trash. But the DraftGore.com position has now surpassed 57,000. Now, there's a guy I can look at and smile, Suzanne writes. Okay, what she is asking here is, if you haven't, go to DraftGore.com and sign the petition. Or don't. But, you know, if you want to be nice to Suzanne in L.A. tonight, go sign the damn thing, okay? Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio Network.
Your night when you turn off your lights. Go to bed with Mike Malloy every night on Nova M Radio.
Honeybees and Alberto Gonzalez. This is from Gadgety Man, I guess. Hey, Mike, when was the last time you saw a honeybee? Honeybees have completely vanished. Some hives have reported up to 95% losses. The culprit, systemic pesticides created by Monsanto. Oh, yeah. It kills the pests and it kills the bees. Think about the complications. There goes over one-third of our food supply. A huge corporation like Monsanto screws up like this, and they cover it up. U.S. attorneys would be the ones to prosecute large companies with friends in the Bush administration. Connect the dots. Yeah, I've been following that story about the honeybees, and we haven't talked about it. And of all the stories that have flashed on the radar screen, that one to me is right up there with the global heating, the honeybee story. Good God. Okay, and then there's this from ABC, Brian Ross, investigative reporter. The Iraqi defector, remember Curveball, whose lies about mobile biological weapons labs that, what's his name, Colin Powell sat there and went on and on and on about before the UN, and whose further lies helped push the U.S. to war 4 years ago. He's still being protected by the German intelligence service, according to ABC News. He has been resettled in a small town near Munich, that figures, headquarters of the German intelligence service, which has continued to honor its original commitment made when he fled Iraq in 1999. Curveball's false tales became the centerpiece, this is according to ABC, of Secretary of State Colin Powell's speech before the UN in February 2003. Even though he was considered an, quote, unstable, immature, and unreliable, close quote, source by some senior officials at CIA. That sounds like Gonzalez. Unstable, immature, and unreliable. Powell told ABC News he is, quote, angry and disappointed, end quote, that he was never told the CIA had doubts about the reliability of the source. Ah, stop. Powell said, quote, I spent 4 days at CIA headquarters and they told me they had this nailed, end quote. You see what they do? Colin Powell. They're going to lie. They're going to stand there with Secretary of Defense, former Joint Chiefs of Staff, Secretary of State. They're going to stand there with Colin Powell and lie to him, and Colin Powell is just going to sit there and lap it up like a kitty lapping up milk. Oh, stop it. Stop it! Behind the scenes at the CIA, however, a former senior official says he was trying to keep the curveball information out of the Powell speech. Tyler Drumheller, the former chief of European operations at the CIA, who has written about it in a new book, On the Brink, said people died because of this. All of this because one little guy who all he wanted to do was stay in Germany. Drumheller says he personally redacted all references to curveball material in an advanced draft of the Powell speech. Drumheller says, we said to everybody involved, this is from curveball, don't use this. Powell says neither he nor his chief of staff, Colonel Larry Wilkerson, was ever told of any doubts about curveball.
Well, that means somebody's lying.
Wilkerson told ABC News, in fact, it was the exact opposite. Never from anyone did we ever hear the word curveball, let alone any expression of doubt in what Secretary Powell was presenting with regard to the biological labs. Oh, man. What do you tell the parents and spouses and children of the 3,100 plus Americans who have been butchered in George Bush and Dick Cheney's abattoir in Iraq? What do you tell the Iraqi people, of whom we're probably up around the 2 million mark now, after 14 years, two wars, two invasions, 10, 11, 12 years of murderous sanctions. Oh, I know, Saddam made money, and so did American corporations and German corporations and French corporations and English corporations. Yeah, they all made money circumventing the oil for food program. But what do you say to the families of 3,100 Americans and 2 million Iraqis? All this death, all this destruction. I mean, what do you do with that? What do you do with that? Do you just say, well, you know, thank God there's no God? Huh? Or thank God God is all involved in making sure that the queers don't procreate and get married and hold hands and kiss. That keeps God distracted, focusing on that. So he'll never notice, will he, that, you know, we have just spent 12 years murdering 2 million. God, we're almost up there around the murder we committed in Vietnam. This is unbelievable. I mean, for you to sit there or wherever you're at and listen to this every night, and for me to sit here every night and talk about this is just astonishing, isn't it? I mean, it's mind-boggling. And yet, what do you think will happen tomorrow? What's going to happen tomorrow? What will be the scandal du jour tomorrow? What's it going to be, huh? What's left? What's left for the Bush crime family to corrupt? Oh, well, there's the B story. That's right. There is the fact that crops. There's another new story on the horizon. That's right. There is one, and that is that the Monsanto engineered corn. You know, if you eat corn now, you're not eating corn. You're eating a chemical construct that they call corn. Well, guess what? It turns out, where is that damn thing? It turns out, regarding corn, oh yeah, strong suspicion of toxicity in one genetically altered corn. It apparently it's toxic to the liver and the kidneys. And Monsanto said, oh, no, everything's okay. Look the other way. Peter Pace, bring somebody out here. Gonzalez, look the other way. What's it going to be? What's it going to be tomorrow, huh? We'll be back tonight with your calls right after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Yeah, I'd like to just kick back and listen to Pink Floyd, too. All right, we are at that part of the program where we are going to take your phone calls. Just one email here I want to share with you, and then here we go. This is from Cheryl in Albuquerque, and she writes, hey, Mike, I was listening to your show last night, and I'm writing to you tonight to voice my frustration with the Democratic Party. I am a ward chair for the Democratic Party of Bernalillo County, if that's the way it's pronounced, Bernalillo County. The city of Albuquerque is in Bernalillo County. As a ward chair, I am responsible for recruiting Democrats within my ward to join the party, registering new voters, raise money for my ward and or the county party, canvassing the neighborhoods within my ward, holding ward and precinct meetings, along with a number of other responsibilities. Furthermore, as a ward chair, I must support Democratic candidates. So far, I've had no trouble supporting Democratic candidates in local races, state races, and federal races. However, as my frustration with the Democratic Party grows, my support for the party is quickly deteriorating. As you may know, the New Mexico legislature was going through the motions to bring a bill to begin impeachment proceedings against Bush. In state Senate committee proceedings, 9 Democrats voted against bringing the bill up for debate on the Senate floor. It was the blanking Democrats that stopped the bill from further debate. In Washington, the DNC and the DCCC, Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, continually ask us to raise more money, recruit more people, register more voters, knock on more doors, etc. As ward chairs and or precinct chairs, we try hard to do as we are asked. We are promised the moon only to be slapped in the face when the politicians we work so hard for turn their backs on us and do what they think is the right thing to do rather than what the majority of their constituents want them to do. They talk a good talk, but very few of them walk the walk. What I truly believe is that Democrats have become enablers, and that is even worse than doing nothing at all. So, tell me, Mike, why do we work so hard for this party? And furthermore, why do we even bother to vote? Cheryl in Albuquerque. Well, I certainly feel your pain, as Bill Clinton said. No, I'm serious. I mean, this is the, you know, I feel this all the time. Absolutely. Why do we continue? Why do we work hard for the party? Why do we even bother to vote? Somebody sent me an email and said I'm a real pessimist or cynic or, you know, I admit to cynicism, hell yeah. But if I were a pessimist, I would not have had a child, a 2.5-year-old daughter at my age. Oh, please. I'm not a pessimist. I've got to believe that things are going to turn around. I keep believing that. The turnaround may not come as a result of the Democratic Party. There is that to consider. I was brought up on Democratic Party politics, coalition politics, union, civil rights, equal rights, women's rights, students' rights, you know, that whole thing back in the 50s and 60s. That's what I was brought up on. That was the mother's milk to me. So I am still and will be until I die a Democrat, not a Zell Miller Democrat, but more like FDR Democrat. Yeah, going back that far. I guess, Cheryl, that's the only answer. What other answer is there, really? To keep the faith. I mean, to keep the faith. To say no, a faith in party, faith in the collective energy of decent Americans. Faith that eventually we will weed out of the Democratic Party the charlatans and liars and cowards and backstabbers and, as Bart Kopp calls them, the pink tutu Democrats who do exactly, or Cheryl calls them enablers, who do exactly what this filthy, corrupt George W. Bush and his crime family demand and tell them to do. I mean, what are you going to do? If you don't have the faith, then you have to stop being a ward chair, and I've got to stop being a talk show host. And we just fold our tents and call it quits. You know, I can work out here. Hell, Kathy can support us. I can work out here on the property and get bee stung or spider bit or whatever the hell goes on every time I get near brush and trying to clear stuff off this place we call home. I don't know, Cheryl, except to say that I absolutely refuse to completely give up. I may sound like a cynic, pessimist, just chuck it all in, look what the bastards have done to us, but I think that's venting. I still have to believe that there is leadership out there in the Democratic Party. I don't know who it would be. You know the names. I know the names. We've hitched our wagon to various stars in the Democratic Party, and granted, you know, it just keeps crashing and burning. But that's not reason to give up. That's reason to weed these bastards out of the Democratic Party, these men and women who tell us one thing and then turn around and do something else. It takes time, takes dedication. Do we have the time? I don't know. I'm one of the first to start screaming, the fascists are coming, the fascists are coming. But on the other hand, these fascists are not like the jackbooted Nazis. These fascists, this Bush crime family fascists, they're more like the Mussolini, the corporatist style. They're not like the Spanish fascist or the Japanese or the German fascist. They're more like the Italian fascist. And if that is the case, you don't forget, Mussolini started his rise to power in the 20s. When Hitler was still sitting in some jail cell someplace or just gotten out of the army, the little private. So Italian fascism is probably the kind of fascism that's taking hold here. And that gives us time. It gives us time to continue the fight, to continue to organize. Just remember what Saul Alinsky said, organize, organize, organize. That's the only answer I got. I'm sorry. It sucks. It's not a good answer. But anyway, Cheryl, thanks for writing. I hear what you're saying. Okay, let's get to the phone calls here. Let's start with Liam, who's calling from Canada. Hey, Liam. Welcome to the program. Hey, Liam.
Oh, hey. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to call real quick. I enjoy the show. I'm calling from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. And I just wanted to share with you the fact that some of the people, or maybe one of the reasons why General Pace is kind of backpedaling now as well, is that most of NATO, if not all of the major NATO allies, allow gay men and women to serve openly in the armed forces.
Oh, sure, sure, absolutely.
It's amazing that people will side with General Pace when, you know, Argentina, Australia, Austria, the United Kingdom, Canada, where we are. In May, I'm going to be marrying a officer in the Canadian Armed Forces, and it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not a big deal.
Well, no.
A person fighting on behalf of the citizenry and the constitutions of those countries.
This country and the, I'm sorry to say it, but the Islamic countries, and I don't know about, I think Israel even has an open policy about
gays
in the military. The only place you find this kind of asininity is in this country, and perhaps a few Latin American countries where, the idea of machismo is so strong, and is in the military forces of Islamic countries. That's about it. I mean, even the Russians, for God's sake, even the Russians, it's my understanding now, don't give a damn. Gay, straight, just here's a weapon, soldier. Here's how you fire it. Now go kill something. So, you're probably right about Pace. I don't know how he's going to deal with NATO when it comes to Afghanistan, when the NATO forces are completely open about this idea. But, oh, well. Hey, listen, Liam, thanks for checking in. Good to hear from you.
All right.
And congratulations on your wedding. Dance one for me, will you?
I certainly will. Thank you very much.
Take care.
All right. Good night. Nothing worth having comes without some kind of fight. Gotta kick in the darkness till it bleeds daylight.
Nighty-night, Truth Seekers. Time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
Look at the state of the world that we live in, where no one gives a damn about the future of children. Just building a cash flow, making a bank account. Let us expose the truth. Is that what the war's about? Cause I don't understand. But what kind of a man should have to sacrifice his life for an area of sin? All the turmoils make him
21 past the hour. Back to your phone calls. Kevin is calling from Washington, D.C. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah. You know, I just want to approach this silliness about homosexuals. You know, it's amazing how these conservatives use the Bible all the time to, you know, bash homosexuals, when clearly it doesn't, it's really ambiguous about it. It really is.
Oh, I know. If you read Solomon or David, you find passages that if they're not direct references to male-to-male loving, tender sexual encounters, I don't know what the hell they are. In the same Jewish Bible, if you will, the Old Testament, you find reference to the fact that eating rabbits is an abomination and that a man lying with a man is an abomination. In other words, eating rabbits and a man lying with a man is probably equal abomination in the sight of this desert god that they invented. But, you know, sometimes people should read the Song of Solomon. People should read the Book of David. Read what David was about. If David was not an openly gay man at a time when I guess homosexuality was just, you know, yawn ho-hum, I don't know who in the Bible was. Just read the Book of David. Oh my God!
The only thing they might have looked down about homosexuality was, okay, because it was important for the Jewish people to carry on the line, you know, the family line and the Jewish faith, and the only way you can do this by having children.
Yeah.
But so once you did that obligation, you know, which I don't think is an obligation, but maybe some men do, then you are free to do whatever you want. And, you know, these people, they kind of twist the words into their own devious, you know, agendas. And it amazes me how they do it. And it's the same thing in Washington. They'll take something and twist it to their own devious agenda.
Right. That's true. That's so true. Oh, wow.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right. Thanks, thanks for checking in. I appreciate your call.
Okay, thanks, Mike. All right. Anytime. Bye.
Let's see. Who's next? Scott, who's calling from Federal Way, Washington. Hey, Scott.
You know, it's funny that you were reading that email at the beginning of this hour about the lady had mentioned about that resolution.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of leads into what I was going to say, the second part, because you remember how I was telling you I had emailed my senator about the Iran stuff. Well, anyway, there was also a state measure here from the state legislators that they were drawing up to impeach. And what's been reported was that Patty Murray and I believe it was Jay Inslee that were asking them to withdraw that measure.
That was the state legislature in Washington.
Yeah, they were drafting drafting similar legislation like New Mexico as far as
right.
for articles.
And what was the reason for withdrawing?
Supposedly, from what I gleaned of it, from that they didn't feel that it was going to gain any muster and that it was counterproductive. I mean, I'm just kind of paraphrasing.
But,
it's not exactly what they said.
My understanding is if one of the states decides to put together a request for impeachment, it doesn't affect Patty Murray's political career. It doesn't affect any of these people's political career. It's something that the states are doing.
Yeah, I know. And that's, you know, and they're not going to do it. Now, whether or not it's going to pass through, I don't know, but you know, that just kind of goes into that the whole thing that I was talking about in the first
place. What the hell are Democrats so afraid of? Come on, answer it for me, because I can't. What are they afraid of?
Well, the only thing, well, it's not the only thing, but now it may be an issue of safety as far as they're concerned. If you look at the stuff that happened with Wellstone and some of these other things with Dasho and all of that kind of stuff.
I can't accept that. I can't believe that. I can't believe that there are members of the United States Congress who are afraid that if they speak out, if they do what they're supposed to do, they're going to be murdered. I can't. Hold on a second. I got to take a break here. I'll come back to you in a minute, Scott. Let's do a break. We'll come right back. This is Nova M Radio. I'm Mike Molloy. Stay with us.
Go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Molloy.
Twenty-six before the hour, we're talking with Scott in Federal Way, Washington. All right, where were we, Scott?
You were talking about, you know, what was wrong with Democrats as far as them going back. Now, I don't personally subscribe to that theory either, because I feel once that you are elected to a public office, or, you know, when you're representing the people or something like that, you have a higher responsibility.
Right.
And there's safety in numbers, too, because there's enough of them that could band together, that could choose to look out for one another, but it doesn't seem like that they're doing that. Now, I've also heard... I've also listened to Randy Rhodes from time to time, and I know that that was part of her theory about that, and at least especially with Republicans were concerned as far as them speaking out, as far as there being a fear. And I don't know. There may very well be something to it, because you got to realize that we're dealing with an administration like no other in any recent history.
Right.
That, you know, at least not since I've been alive, and not anything that I've studied, but... You know, it is just frustrating.
It is. I just wish Democrats, though, if they're going to run for office, they would realize that in the age of Bush, there may or may not be a certain element of risk. And if they're afraid to take the risk, then sit down, shut up, and let somebody with courage who's a Democrat step in and take the so-called risk. That's pretty much how I feel about it. But, Scott, I get your point. Thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. All right?
Okay.
All right. You take care. Brian in San Diego writes, Mike, forgive me if you've already covered this. It just seems that no one seems to be covering this aspect of the sacking story, the story, you know, of dumping these eight federal prosecutors. In the reauthorization of the Patriot Act, Brian writes, the following happened at the last minute, of course, in the dark of night and with grand implications in line with their systematic destruction of this constitutional democracy. The following is a paragraph from a news report that I read about this. Quote, if Arlen Specter, Republican of PA, is to be believed, no one in the Senate, not even himself, realized that the law had been changed governing the nomination of U.S. attorneys, a change that gave the administration the power to appoint federal prosecutors indefinitely without Senate confirmation, end quote. Another brick in the wall, Brian in San Diego. Yeah, and thanks for pointing that out, because I've completely forgotten about it tonight. What they're doing here, you know, federal attorneys, and I mentioned it tonight, they need Senate confirmation. But the USA Patriot Act had one of those slimy, filthy, little neo-fascist clauses that said federal prosecutors, if there was a vacancy, could be appointed without Senate approval indefinitely, as Brian just pointed out. Okay, there's no vacancies. What do? Fire people. Whether they're, and the charge that these federal attorneys were incompetent or not doing their job is an absolute lie and a slur on what they were doing. And Gonzalez knows this, because Gonzalez is a dumbass that has no more business being attorney general than he has running a chicken ranch somewhere. He ought to go home, go back to Texas, and oversee the execution of scores and dozens more people, a certain percentage of whom are innocent. Go home. From Bob in Virginia. I heard you mention how the people of the book hated homosexuals. That would be Christians, Jews, and Muslims. These followers of the fantastical sky god Jehovah, Allah, you name it, have forgotten their own history, in that the one thing they also had in common was a collective hate for all things Hellenic, in other words, the Greeks and or the Romans. The Jews celebrate a holiday, Hanukkah, that commemorates their victory over the Greeks. Paul, or Saul, was the apostle to the Gentiles, yet he did nothing but rail against Roman culture. The pre-Islamic people of Mesopotamia were conquered by both the Greeks and then the Romans, and they hated them both. This hate was carried over into the Islamic culture. David and King Saul's son Jonathan certainly had a homosexual relationship, but they predated the subjugation of the Hebrew kingdom by the Greeks. It was only after that time that they, the Jews, developed their tremendous animosity toward homosexuality and all things Greek. To paraphrase Gore Vidal, quote, "It's daunting to think that over 60% of our legislators take literally the words written in a Bronze Age text describing the wanderings of a nomadic Semitic tribe as they followed the instructions of their war god." End quote. Bob in Virginia. Yeah, I'm just stunned. So often, it's getting to the point where I walk around and bump into things when I think about the idiocy of who was it? Was it Frank Zappa that said 90% of everything is BS anyway? Was that Zappa? I think it was. One of America's great heroes. Jake is calling from Arcata, California. Hey, Jake, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
It's going fine, sir.
I just got the chance today to question my congressman. He's a conservative blue dog Democrat from California's 1st District, Mike Thompson, part of the leadership. And unfortunately, I have to say, I was not very impressed. On the issue of the war, they don't want to cut off funds. You know, they don't want to do anything that's actually going to stop the war. They want to let it keep on dragging out, just like Bush and Cheney want, so they can make all those billions for Halliburton.
You know what I don't understand? Let me interrupt, if I may, and tell you what I don't understand, Jake. 70% of the American people do not support this president. The majority of the people do not support this war. The majority of people want our troops home. The majority of the people want our military not to be to continue to be misused by these thugs. What in the hell is it about the Democrats that makes them afraid? I don't care if they're yellow dog, blue dog, conservative, liberal. What makes the Democrats so afraid of responding to the will of the people?
I'll tell you what Mike Thompson told me.
Okay.
Mike Thompson said they don't have the votes. They can't get it done. And what he's waiting on is Nancy Pelosi to get the best bill together that she can. Now, while all our troops are dying, while they're getting ready to go into Iran, they're going to wait, hoping they can get a bill, some new non-binding resolution, I'm sure. You know, I'm sorry, but it is time for Democrats to rise up and demand that in the primary elections next year, we get real progressive candidates who are actually going to do something to stop the war and to hold these Republican war criminals accountable.
But didn't we do that in the last election?
You know, we still got these so-called moderates, these, you know, Joe Lieberman types who aren't going to do anything to protect the interests of the people. They're just going to keep on supporting Bush and his neo-imperial agenda.
But the Senate has nothing to do with the purse strings. That's the House.
Right.
And the entire House is up for re-election every 2 years. So as much of a jerk as Lieberman is, he has nothing to do with this. This has to do with members of the United States House of Representatives. And didn't we say in the lead-up to the 06 election that we were only going to support Democratic candidates who were anti-war, who wanted to bring the troops home, who were willing to remove from office Bush and Cheney? And what the hell happened to that?
You know what Nancy Pelosi said right before the election, of course, impeachment was off the table.
Yeah, I know.
Is the biggest joke ever. And these people like Mike Thompson, frankly, they're just too afraid, Mike. They're too afraid to do anything against Bush. They're afraid of the right-wing press corps, of the Rush Limbaughs and the Sean Clannadys. That's what they're worried about. They're not even paying attention to the base of the Democratic Party anymore.
Well, then they should be thrown out on their asses. Anybody that shows that kind of fear against non-human jerks like Limbaugh or Hannity or the American media, they just ought to be thrown out on their asses. Jake, thanks for checking in. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
You know what I'd like to see, and I swear to God I would, and I would do this. If I were a member of the House or the Senate, I would do this at this point. I would do it. There's no question. And it just, I'm stunned and astonished that a member of the House or the Senate will not do this. They would be censured by their bedmates, but it doesn't make any difference. And that is just to go absolutely foaming at the mouth berserk, to pull a Hunter Thompson, to pull a Timothy Leary, to wait until there was some kind of a quorum call in the House, for example. And you know, they're bringing in all the members of the House because they got to vote about something. And then for one of these Democrats to all of a sudden leap up on his or her desk and stand there and just start screaming at the top of their lungs, "These rotten sons of bitches are destroying America!" Just go on, just all the stuff that you want to say, that I want to say, and some kind of phony, fakey little decorum or House rules or Senate rules apparently prohibit this. What are they going to do, arrest him? They can't do anything to him if he does it on the floor of the House or the Senate, or her. That's what I'd like to see. Wouldn't you love to see that? Wouldn't you love to see some Democrat? Now, it might kill their political career, but it might save the country. You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't you love to see it? You know you would. I would. Just once. Just one American who is a representative or a senator to stand up in the House or the Senate and just scream bloody murder and just say, "You lying, filthy sons of bitches, we've had enough." Wouldn't you? Ten before the hour, thanks to the usual gang of banditos who made this program possible again tonight. Ian Huff, who engineered and answered your calls. Chris in Minnesota. Mark Marshall, the moderators at MikeBeloy.com on the message board. Our executive producer is Catherine Bay. And if you haven't gone to NovaMRadio.com and signed up for the downloads of the podcasts and support the network and chance to win $10,000, shame on you. No, I don't mean that. Do it if you can. We would love to have you as a founding member, a member of Nova M Radio Network. So, whatever. We just got this in, breaking news from Tim in L.A. Ted Haggard is still not gay, and rumor has it that he gave up his membership in the Bohemian Club. Tim from L.A., who has been appointed to keep watch over this sort of thing. Thank you, Tim. Back to your phone calls. Garrett is calling from Houstonville, Kentucky. Hey, Garrett, welcome to the program.
Yeah, we spoke a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, we did. I asked you if it was Houstonville or Houstonville.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Oh, about General Pace. Seems really have two comments. One, if it's basically the same evangelical stuff, you know what it is.
Right.
You know, gays are bad. But, and you touched on it earlier, eating rabbit is the same abomination if you're going by Leviticus.
Right.
And if that's the law, but so is shellfish. So are we supposed to boycott Red Lobster, Long John Silver's, things like that?
Well, Leviticus is a guide for child abuse, child murder, spousal abuse, spousal murder. You know, the whole book of Leviticus. I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend Orthodox religionists who may be listening to the program tonight, but it's a bunch of flat-out garbage. It may have applied to a bunch of desert-dwelling nomads 5,000 years ago, but it's insane. It's just total insanity to try to run someone's life in the year 2007 by what was written by a bunch of scribes and seers and fortune tellers 5,000 years ago as they wandered around a desert looking for something to kill and eat.
And the funny thing is, if we apply the same logic across the board, this is the same time period when they thought that the earth was the center of the universe, that all disease was caused by demon infestation.
Well, I think that was later. The folks who wrote the Bible didn't even have that concept. I mean, the concept of the earth being the center of what? No. I get your point, but that wasn't until later. The Catholics did that.
But, you know, my secondary point is, to put more directly to Pace's comment,
yeah,
by him saying that this is an immoral, you know, it's immoral activity, but putting his own religious spin on it, is that gives an implied Christian theocracy to the military.
Well, but that's been going on for quite some time.
Sure has. On one Christian soldier.
Well, I'm drawing a blank on the general's name. He was an army general who was in Mogadishu, who was in Somalia during the George Herbert Walker Bush's adventure there. That was the Black Hawk Down event, and Clinton was left to clean that one up. But that general said that the problem in Somalia, and he witnessed it, was that Satan made an appearance over the city of Mogadishu, and this general saw it. And this general is still a general. You know, here's a guy who sees haints and spirits and spooks and ghosts and demons floating in the sky, for God's sake, and he still is in a command position in the United States military. These people are nutballs.
You know, but how does that make the trench soldier feel if you're the ones who aren't Christian?
I don't even know. I can't even imagine.
Well, I mean, that has to put some pressure on them. Like, well, if this guy is in a command and control authority, and he's saying, hey, you've got to believe in my desert voodoo god.
I know. But when you go back to that desert god that now is worshipped in various forms by the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims, was a bloodthirsty devil who I'm a small d. I don't mean devil theologically. Sure. I just mean it was a bloodthirsty, murderous, arrogant thug who represented the people who created him. That's all. When that God told the Israelites, go into Canaan and I want you to slaughter everybody.
Well, it's like when people that I happen to know, because Zionism is very, very big in the Christian.
Well, Zionism is different from...
Well, there's two kinds. There's the Zionist of the people and the Zionist of the land.
Well, no. I'm talking about ancient religious superstitious nonsense.
But when people say...
Zionism is a political belief. It has
sure
nothing...
Sure it is.
You know.
But when people say, well, God wants these people to have this land, I'm like, well, what about the people that were in the land to start with?
Well, if you want to go back far enough, I mean, you can't go back far enough.
Right. That's what I'm saying. There's always somebody somewhere, you know. It seems to me the pilgrims didn't land here and say, wow, a great fixer-upper opportunity.
That's true. Thanks, Garrett. I got to leave it there, man. We're almost out of time. Thanks a lot. Oh, the Ten Commandments. Yeah, Moses went up in the mountains and God appeared, and I know that my point of view on religion is very offensive to believers. I certainly acknowledge that. Christian, Jew, and Muslim, I certainly acknowledge that. But when you listen to this program, you get what you pay for. Okay? You know my point of view. I think it's all superstitious nonsense. It has no basis in anything other than fear of death, all sorts of strictures on the human spirit, quote, quote. To me, religion, organized religion, is one of the absolute banes of human existence. Always has been, always will be. And I know that offends a lot of people. I do. That point of view offends a lot of people who still listen to this program. There are a lot of people who consider themselves to be good Christians, liberal Christians, followers of Christ, yada, yada, yada. And you know, I've said before, I can certainly respect people who follow morality and goodness. I don't care if you take a fictional character and put it at the head of that parade or not. If you're doing it, good for you. That's, you know, it's certainly to the betterment of humankind. But religious nonsense to me is just that, nonsense. And the planet is waist deep in blood because of it. That's all. But in a humanistic way, I've got to say, I'm sorry I offend you.
Hey, we've got atheists in Congress now. I'm proud to be an American.
At least one. I'll see you tomorrow night, Truth Seeker. Thanks for participating. Take care, okay? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.